Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Once again, if you missed any part of our interview with Adam Schefter, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you missed any of that, don't worry, because there's another interview coming up here momentarily. Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, voice of the Boston Celtics, the 7-1 Boston Celtics, who have a very important early season matchup here tonight with the Golden State Warriors. And I say important, not so much in the standings, although they are both teams that only have one loss so far this year. They are part of that group of five up at the top of the standings here.
What's
the
only college football?
Basically, yeah, that's what they are. They're one of the good teams. The Warriors so far, they've had a soft schedule, but they're one of the good teams. The Celtics are obviously one of the good teams. And there's only like a handful of other ones that have separated themselves from this big group of teams that are right around 500. We'll get Scalabrine's thoughts on that, along with this matchup here tonight with the Golden State Warriors. Scal brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. Brian Scalabrine, how we doing?
I'm doing well. You guys?
We're doing great. We have an important game to talk about tonight, which we certainly want to get to. But before we get to that, I'm sure you know how I'm going to open this interview. Your former teammate, Kendrick Perkins. Do we have to say, this is what he had, if you heard this, this is what he had to say.
Brian Scalabrine. Scal. He's like, well, well, it's not just open for him to come back to the Celtic organization. Now, it's two things I took from there. One, Scal, who the f*** are you? Right. You was the same motherfucker that when we won a championship, was in street clothes, hurry up and went changed into your jersey. So once we started taking pictures, you could know that you was part of the team.
Okay, you can stop it right there. Scal, your response.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if anybody, and I really do feel sorry for anybody that actually believes that when the Celtics, during the midst of all the stuff that I do with my wife, three kids, my big three, my Celtics broadcast, flying around, that I had a meeting with the Celtic brass and I decided who was allowed on the float and not allowed on the float. Like, if you actually believe that, I feel really bad for anybody that actually believes that, or Kendrick Perkins is trying to recruit and say like that, somehow I am in control of that. And by the way, I'm not going to go out there and post or anything. I have the text message screenshots of me and Perk, me saying, hey, Perk, I really would love for you to be there, man. This is going to be awesome. But I think you should reach out to Joe and just apologize. Just give him like a, hey, man, you've done a great job. I'm really sorry. And he, like, took that, and he's making it like this. So I think it's a massive distraction from him to say, yeah, I called Joe Mazzulla a terrible name. I called him an idiot. And you can criticize what a coach does. You can criticize what a player does. Like, the general rule is don't call people stupid. And then don't go down that road. And because of that, and I don't know if he feels bad about it or he thinks that people are going to believe him, that he's now making this about me. It's not about me. This is not about me. And if anybody actually thinks this is about me, I feel bad for you.
Did you guys have a good relationship? What was your relationship like in the past?
Amazing. Amazing. When I left Sirius and started at radio.com, I told the guy, and Perk, like, I told the guy, sign Kendrick Perkins up. The guy's, he's brilliant. And this is before he even, like, started doing the ESPN stuff. I'm like, this guy is amazing. And he works. And he gets up. Like, and then I also gave him advice, like, Perk, you know how to make it in this business? Do early morning radio. Because early morning, most NBA players won't wake up to do it. You can, like, really separate yourself out. Like, I've, I, and by the way, like, why, on on June 18th, I have a text message from him. I love you, brother, man. Like, Ubuntu. I guess it's like, this is beyond ridiculous. And so, like, once again, I'm not going down this road of, like, going on Twitter and having this stuff. Like, I'm a grown man. This is, it's amazing what this world has become and how Perkins thinks that this is, like, the best way to approach this.
Wouldn't it be weird for someone like him? Like, you're part of the team broadcast. Someone like him being on the duck boats would have been weird anyway, right? Like, that isn't that like a non-starter?
I mean, the guy was a legendary player for us. He's the starting center on our team. We've never lost a playoff series with him. And I've never, like, wavered on this. I don't, like, I'm telling you, he's doing this to make it a distraction that somehow, like, I'm the reason that he's not invited to a duck boat or whatever it is. Like I'm being honest. Like, who in their right mind would actually believe that I have these conversations with people?
I wouldn't believe that. I didn't think that you were the gatekeeper of the duck boats or anything. But Joe Mazzulla certainly might be, as he's the head coach of the team. Did he hold a grudge over those comments? Like, we never really heard that from him. He didn't speak on it, but did he hold a grudge over that?
Can I just say yes? Because I don't like to talk about, like, private conversations.
Okay, fair enough.
Can I just say, yeah, like, it didn't go over well with Joe Mazzulla. So, especially, you know how inviting he was, like, to hey, guys, come on in to training camp, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So, like, it didn't go over well. But, you know, like, and by the way, like, you know, Joe Mazzulla has a lot of stuff going on in his life. Like, Kendrick Perkins at one point was on our air. And I had to explain to him that, like, Kendrick Perkins did not say that on our air, and he did not say that, like, it's not a representation of NBC Sports Boston. That's him doing what he's doing, and I had to smooth that over, which even then, I still, like, had Perkins back during that time. So this is like, put it this way. Like I said, you guys can ask me this question. I was going to do this call regardless, but, like, people spending time on this and trying to create beef, like, it's beyond dumb. And you know what? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I didn't want my suit to get splashed with champagne. I got it. Like, everybody knows, like, I didn't play. I'm not on the broadcast telling everybody how good I was back in the day. I'm not telling everybody how good I was back in the day or my accolades or anything like that. I'm just reporting what I see and, like, with my basketball knowledge. But, yeah, like, it's so lowbrow to go down that road. Like, so it's fine. I don't care, but I think it's, like, it's nonsense.
Just to sort of close the door on this, two-parter, is it safe to say this is not salvageable between Perk and the Celtics as long as Mazzulla's around? And is your relationship with Perk sort of toast?
I'm good. No, I recognize that people can do whatever they do and have, like, certain things in their life, and Perk can say, like, he can call me, like, the guy that changed my uniform and make it, like, he can do whatever he wants. Like, I'm not going to hold that that against him. I think he's really smart. I actually like him on TV. I give him a lot of credit for carving out a career in this space, which a lot of people are trying to do. No, I don't got a problem with him. I don't understand why he's doing this. I don't understand if he feels pressure. I have no idea why he does this, but no, like, I'm good. I would see him. I mean, I ain't going to be how I was before trying to help him out or anything like that, but he doesn't need my help. But I keep it moving with him. But as far as Joe Mazzulla, I don't know. I guess Joe Mazzulla reached out to Kendrick Perkins and said, can we go have dinner? And now it's all good. And somehow, once again, I'm the gatekeeper of the duck boat. And somehow everything was my fault and not his fault for what he said. Like, once again, I was critical of Joe Mazzulla. I don't like the five-out offense, like, that first year. I didn't like the way we played. But I'm not calling the guy, like, an idiot because of it. I just, like, why don't we put a guy in the dunker spot? That's all fair game. But calling someone stupid is not okay. It's not okay. And the organization pretending to have open arms with you after you called the coach, who's, by the way, pretty bright, an idiot, is not okay either.
We're talking with Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Speaking of holding grudges, Scal, how crazy is Jason Tatum going to go tonight against Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors?
Man, I hope, like, did you guys watch? I've seen Jason Tatum a lot. What he did in that Atlanta game, it looked like he was playing against the eighth grade team when he was on the varsity team. It was a joke. And I hope and he just continues that. And, you know, whether it's for Steve Kerr or, like, you know, we have our own beef with the Golden State Warriors from them winning the championship and all that stuff. But, no, I hope that he just continues playing the basketball that he's played. And, man, doesn't he seem, I don't know, maybe the championship or whatever, the offseason, maybe the – I don't know what happened, but he seems like a whole nother level of a guy. Like, he's acting – a la Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Like, he's acting like that level of a guy. Like, so much bigger, better, the way he processes the game, the way he makes clutch shots right now. I'm really looking forward to this. And I wonder, like, there has not been a moment this year where I felt like he was overwhelmed by any part of the game. And we can go as far as last year and say, man, late in the game, you know, Tatum did this or Tatum did that. Like, there's points in time where you could have said, oh, Tatum could have been better here and there. I haven't seen a moment in which, like, he didn't have, like, complete control of the game at all times.
How good is this Warriors team? We look at the standings. They're 6-1, plus 17-point differential. Mm-hmm. How much of a willing foe are they tonight to maybe allow Tatum to put on a show?
Yeah, you know what? They're nasty defensively. I think everyone will get caught up in their shooting, which is good. They move the ball really well. You know, Steve Kerr is... And, you know, like, I know he's public enemy number one today, but he in the NBA, when you get a guy that plays, like, 8 to 12 minutes, right, typically that guy, like, there's some, like, you kind of ease into the game, and then there's some pouting going on when a guy comes out. Like, he's kind of cracked that NBA code of getting, like, 10 guys. Sometimes he goes 12 when they get a big lead or whatever, but of guys, like, playing hard. I get really, really getting after it. And you got to watch that. They fly around just like the Celtics. Like, they get beat. They rotate really well. I think Draymond Green has a lot to do with that, like barking commands from the back line. But they're amazing defensively, just like we're amazing defensively. So I think we have more. I think if you look at when we're at our best and they're at their best, I think we're still better defensively. We just have had some of those lulls in, like, the second and third at times. But our fourth quarter defense has been good. But, no, this Warrior team is good. It's fun. And, you know, there's the Steve Kerr thing, but also you get a chance to watch Steph Curry tonight. And, you know, like, you know, all the antics that he brings to the game. And it's going to be a great night.
So Steve Kerr has cracked the code to play 12 players in the NBA, but he just didn't crack the code to do it in the Olympics. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's 8 more minutes, and – and, I mean, not to take his side, I think Jason Tatum, you know, I think he didn't want to upset the players from the Western Conference to see those guys four times and maybe see those guys in the playoffs. But you know, if there's a 40-minute game with a couple of days in between, I suppose the NBA is kind of rapid fire. So he has cracked that code. And remember, injuries come into play all the time in the NBA. There's always guys sitting out here and there. So he's done a good job with this group, I would say. So far, he's done a really good job with this Golden State Warrior team.
All right, Scal, before we let you go, what is wrong with Grant Williams? What's his problem? What was that all about?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. Like, he tried to take accountability, saying, I went for the ball. Like, obviously, you know,
go for the ball.
What that looked like.
Right.
Yeah, I just thought... You know what? I like Grant. I like his family, his dad. Like, I think he has a legacy here from all the community service he's done, and he's a great guy, man. I mean, he's a phenomenal person. That might have all got erased with one foul on Jason Tatum, and it was funny after the second game. And usually, you know, there's a little drama. Think about it. We played the Charlotte Hornets back-to-back. Mm. He had to go through that second game. After the game, like, no one was going up to him and dapping him up or shaking hands. I think the whole Grant Williams thing is it's unfortunate for him because I like the guy, but I think it's not a good position for him in Boston. But I will say this: we don't play them till the end of the year. I wonder if the crowd will spit venom the last two games of the season when we finally do play Charlotte again.
I would imagine probably won't be like it is tonight with Steve Kerr, but I'd imagine there'll be something for Grant Williams at the end of the season. Thanks so much for the time, Scal.
No,
always great to talk with you.
All right, sounds good. See you,
Brian Scalabrine,
you, Scal,
joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Some receipts there from his interactions with Kendrick Perkins. That was interesting. He said he doesn't want to post those screenshots.
No, but he shared them with us, so I appreciate that.
He said that he has them. We didn't see him, but he says that he has them. And he told everybody that he's got them and that he thinks this is all a little phony by Kendrick Perkins, which, we'll see. A lot of shots. Perk took a lot of shots. Scal didn't take a lot of shots back.
Brian Scalabrine. Scal.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well,
there
and
was,
and I love the way Scal handled it at the end of that. Like,
Yeah, people know I didn't really play.
Right.
Like, what? Are you, ooh, you're telling people I didn't really play. They can check the box scores. Ooh.
Yeah, right. Like B-Rabbit, you know?
Like,
right,
like I don't know.
I do live in a trailer park, and my mom is on drugs. Right. Blah, blah, blah. What else are you going to say? Like, that type of thing. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we return, Drake May has to protect the ball better, at least according to him. We'll talk about Drake May's flaws, and would last
what?
Year have been any different?
Flaws?
With a better promising young quarterback. We'll get to all that right after Stiz tells you what you spent over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending. Drake May this morning addressing the media. Both him and Gerard Mayo spoke to the media today. Says he's got to protect the ball better. I agree. I think he does. That's something that I was expecting. I did say at the beginning of the year, I'm not going to overreact to a rookie making rookie mistakes, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to overreact to that. But I do think you have to react to it. You have to react to it in some way. And my reaction is, as the season goes on, I'm not sure, and it's only been 3 starts, but as the season has progressed, I'm seeing a guy out there who I don't think is necessarily getting to work on that type of stuff. I see a guy out there who's running for his life. I see a guy out there who's trying to fit the ball into small windows because his guys aren't getting open, and trying to take shots downfield and different things that he's trying to do here. And I'm in the turnovers, I mean. You know, those are mostly on the throws where he's going off his back foot or there's pressure in his face. The strip sack was low, got beat around the corner. And he thought he had a little bit more time as he was trying to dump it off, and he didn't. He got hit. He dropped the ball. Like, these are all things that I look at, and I don't necessarily, with each one of them, although that first interception was just straight-up terrible. That was
yep.
Mac Jones' interception. But I generally, with him, when he has a mistake like that or something, and maybe I'm just want to do this because he's a rookie, but you look at it and you say, okay, well, how much of that was his fault? How much of that was the situation? How much of that was his wide receiver dropping it or running the wrong route or whatever it is that ends up happening or falling down like we were talking about with Kendrick Bourne on that last interception? And how much of it was him? And I do think that he's made mistakes. It's not like he hasn't. But I also think that there's context to it all, and in each one of these individual plays, it doesn't look like a guy who's got a lot of time to scan the field and look around, and he makes the wrong throw. It's not a guy who's got a ton of time, and he's running with the ball all the time, and he's not holding it right or whatever. You know, like it's not that type of thing. And you see players doing that sometimes. Shady McCoy, he used to walk, he'd run around with the ball in his left hand, away from the sideline. He's not doing that. But I do think that there's. And he takes accountability for it, but I do think that there's something that, a conversation anyway, that needs to be had here about him because there's other rookie quarterbacks in the league who aren't turning it over quite so much.
So the Mac comparisons are always going to be there. I don't think he's made any plays that were as bad as Mac Jones' worst plays. And Mac Jones' worst plays came in his third season.
Yeah.
He was a third-year player.
The pick in Germany was, I'll never forget that. I mean, that was one of the worst
plays. The pick in Germany?
Ever. Yeah.
The pick in Dallas where he got away with it a play earlier and then threw late across the field, like inexcusable type mistakes for a third-year quarterback, in my opinion. You know, maybe inexcusable for a first-year quarterback, but there's some debate there.
Sure.
Third-year quarterback, absolutely inexcusable. I haven't seen anything from Drake May that's felt inexcusable. I haven't seen anything, quite honestly, that has felt like hair on fire, chicken with his head cut off, run around like crazy. Like, I watched, there was a, I think it might have been Spencer Rattler's second game, was a prime time, might have been a Thursday or whatever it was. I was watching it. It was, oh my God, this guy shouldn't be on an NFL field.
Yeah.
He's not ready. I haven't seen a he's not ready moment from Drake May yet, despite the fact that I do think there are teammates giving him opportunities to have he's not ready kind of moments. Even the one that was ugly and bad, the first interception, That even happens to veteran guys. You're kind of getting wrapped up. You see a guy flash in the middle. You think you can get it there. It's dumb. Don't do it. But understandable. I haven't seen anything that's just, oh, wow, there's a long way. And I think that's probably why guys like Dan Orlovsky have jumped on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. They were expecting some of those or more of those, and they haven't got them. And because, quite honestly, he's made some of the wow good plays that even if there were those really crappy plays, there'd be like a balance. You'd be like, well, they're pretty even. It's 4-4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't made those. He's just made normal mistakes. Like, I think he learned from that throw to end the game. I think he learned, if I'm going to miss that, I better miss it long. Don't miss it short and over the middle of the field. Probably miss it long into the numbers.
Right.
So bank that away. Learn from that down the road when those situations come up again. Are there things he needs to work on? Yes. Some of it I agree with him is the timing, the pocket, but I also give him a pass on that because the line stinks. And I don't know if it's even realistic for him to have expectations of his own growth there until the line grows. You know what I mean? Like, in an ideal world, do I think he can do a better job there? 100%. But this is far from an ideal world. And right now, he's in survival mode out there. He's in instincts mode. He's in just sort of that competitor that he's been all his life, probably in high school.
Yep.
Like, you know, in high school, he probably didn't have five linemen that were all awesome in front of him. So you learn know where the pressure might come from, know who my weakest lineman is, know who the worst matchup is. Like,
he was also probably the best athlete in the whole state, so it didn't matter, right?
Yeah. He might still be the best athlete at times on the field.
Could be, yeah.
Right? Like, all around. So I think that's just some of the stuff that he's going to have to work with. And that, I actually think there's room for more improvement when everything else improves. You know what I mean? Like, then he can really start to hone his role in a competent offense. Because right now, it's an incompetent offense with a competent quarterback. That's how I would look at it.
That's what it looks like to me, too. And I think that's what it looks like to pretty much everybody. And his competence, he's not a Pro Bowler yet or anything like that, and I don't even think he's Jaden Daniels yet.
He's a playmaker.
He's a good player, and he's shown flashes and shown potential that he could be a franchise quarterback. I think we all agree with that, even though it's only been three games. I think we're all on that bandwagon, and not just because we want to be, because it's better for us. He's shown that. He's displayed that, so I think that exists. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine how you look at the offense you had last year and how dysfunctional it was, and how it was the product of 3 years, really, well, 2 years, I guess, of growing dysfunction that basically exploded at the end there and led to Bill Belichick getting fired for largely neglecting the offense. I think that was a huge slice of the pie as to why they let him go, why they moved on from Bill O'Brien, why the Patricia and the Judge thing didn't work, why they moved to a new quarterback, all of that stuff. So on some level, you look at it and you say, okay, they made a bunch of big sweeping changes to the offense. Except they didn't. Like, they really didn't. There's a new offensive coordinator, there's a new head coach, and there's a new quarterback. Everything else is roughly the same. The O-line may be a little bit worse, but everything else is roughly the same. Your wide receiver room is not really any different from last year. Your tight end room is not really any different from last year. Your running back room, you don't have Zeke, you have Gibson now, and you have Hooper instead of Gesicki at tight end. And other than that, your two rookies are non-factors. You basically just brought back the same horrible offense that got Belichick fired for neglect, and that's what you popped Drake May into the middle of. And that is just, I know I've been complaining about this for about 2 months now, but each week that goes by, I get more pissed off about it. Like, it's so neglectful.
Well, I don't know if it's neglected as much as they effed up. And that's where we get back to my buddy Mark in the car saying, how can you trust Wolf? He brought in changes to the offensive line. Not a lot of high-end changes.
No. No,
but change. I mean, Jalen Polk's a high end change, a second round pick at receiver. You should expect that guy to be making plays. He's been useless. Mm-hmm. He's been blanks on a bull, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
absolutely useless. Then there's no rule saying that the other guy you drafted at wide receiver couldn't be an impact guy too. Fourth round is not. We're just taking a flyer. God, I like. Booty was a sixth round pick. This guy's two rounds higher.
Mm-hmm.
There should be reason to believe Baker could be contributing. He's not contributing. You drafted two offensive linemen in the middle of the draft. Are they contributing?
Nope,
they're not contributing. So, and I'm not saying they necessarily should, but the problem is we're bitching about the line stinks, and they used mid-round picks on linemen that aren't contributing. Layden Robinson has been benched. Caden Wallace hasn't really done anything, been banged up. We'll see what he can develop into.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go the veteran route. There's no saying the journeyman veteran receiver you brought in couldn't have injected some life on an offense. KJ Osborne, useless. Blanks on a bull. Absolutely. You brought in an offensive lineman you targeted as a starting left tackle. You benched him in week one.
Mm-hmm.
He quit shortly thereafter. So I don't think it's, I'm not saying these were high-end additions, but teams across the NFL every year bring in players that aren't perceived to be high-end additions that actually help, right? That actually contribute to a team. I would even put Antonio Gibson in there. What's he done? He had a little flash early, Seattle maybe.
That's it.
Like, that feels like a month and a half ago. Why? Because it was a month and a half ago. If you bring in a backup running back,
their short passing game is not good with receivers or with running backs. It doesn't matter. And he's not getting a lot of carries, and he's just sort of there.
So
yeah, right.
You could argue they are middling to lower level additions, but to go 0-for on all your additions, because you went 0-for. And remember the jokes? Oh, I felt bad because I went all offense.
Right.
Did you? We wouldn't be able to tell after the quarterback. We couldn't tell what you drafted because the offense is not getting any value out of your draft picks. And that's the problem. To me, it's not that they ignored it. It's that, okay, they maybe have taken in a value-based approach to it. But with that even, they didn't hit on anything.
Nope.
Anything. And that is the problem. And that is where I think the questions or concerns about giving Elliott Wolf all this money and all these draft picks moving forward, well, is he going to hit any of them? Because so far,
So far, it's been ugly. It's been, dare I say, Belichick-esque. I mean, really, like the last 5 years.
But without the hits.
Yeah.
I guess you got the one hit.
Yeah, Drake May.
Belichick used to hit on first-round picks early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Elliott Wolf has hit on a first-round
pick. And I think he hit on Gonzalez last year, too. I think that was a hit, too.
I don't know whose pick that was. We still have to give that door open because that was the collaborative era.
But prior to that, Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton, 1 and 2.
Yuck.
Mac Jones gone. Barmore's still here. He's a hit, I'd say. And then you got Duggar and Uche, N'Keal Harry and Jawan Williams, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. I mean, those are your top two guys for the last 5-6 years there. It's an ugly scene.
Where's Eck?
Yuck. Yeah, really. 617-779-7937.
Ooh, that's a good call we got on the line.
I know. I'm looking forward to this. We'll get to the injury report, which has been released. Some names on there that may raise your eyebrows. But first, Rick in Portsmouth has a problem with me. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Arkan. How's it going?
It's going,
I really
Rick.
Appreciate the show. It's going well. Good to talk to you as well, Andy.
Hi.
I just think, Arkan, you're totally wrong. Like, the Patriots had a major, major reset. And to say it's the same old thing is just wrong, dude. And the other thing is like...
Well, wait a minute, Rick. Andy, I said that the offense on the field... Hold on, Rick. Just wait. Let me respond to that. The offense on the field is largely the same offense as last year. You disagree with that?
Well, you know, I kind of do. A lot of the players may be the same, but the coaching philosophy is different. The quarterback's much different, and I think, generally speaking, the attitude's different. And Andy,
you were
saying how, you know, how you were ripping AVP, and I think we got to give AVP a little bit of credit for picking Drake May. You know, at the time, it was not a layup.
Yeah,
there was a lot of question marks between the top three picks. No. And I think AVP doesn't get credit for that.
It's the worst call ever.
Well, he didn't make the pick. That was Elliott Wolf.
Elliott Wolf made the pick.
Is
that who he meant?
They were taking the third. Oh, maybe he meant?
Maybe he meant Elliott Wolf for take? Because we were ripping Wolf before.
Either way, he took the quarterback that fell in their lap.
Right.
He
took the third out of the three. That's
if
what
you
did,
believe yeah. Robert Kraft, he said there was a quarterback we wanted and luckily he fell to us or something. Remember in that Taylor Rooks halftime interview? That was also the one where everybody finally realized he picked Gerard Mayo to be his head coach
five years ago. Right,
Jerusalem.
Yes, of course. Taylor Rooks get guys to say crazy stuff. You know, it's just
the damnedest thing.
The way it works.
That's nothing. We'll move on.
Okay.
But I thought he was talking about Alex Van Pelt for a minute. So I'm going to answer that argument as well. We've given Alex Van Pelt credit for developing Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever has gone on.
But not for picking him.
Not for picking him.
Yeah.
Now, that happens at times. Like, there are times where I think quarterback coaches, offensive coaches get input. I don't think this was one of them. I don't know that there was another choice. You had Caleb Williams 1, mm-hmm. you had Jaden Daniels 2, and a lot of people believed there were 3 franchise quarterbacks in this draft. You should just take the third one. That's how I felt. Now, I would have taken Daniels, Williams, or May at 3. I actually had Williams 1, May 2, Daniels 3. But it's looking like you were fine no matter what if you took one of the 3 franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, I know you hated them all. You were down on him.
Wasn't a big fan of any of them, yeah.
So that's...
I was okay with trading back.
That would have been the way to attack him. caller.
Yeah.
What's his name, Patrick?
Joe? Rick in Portsmouth Rick. Is who it was. And to be fair, last year there were two wide receivers who are not on the team now. Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker were both on the team last year, and they are not this year. So it's not exactly the same. But did they replace him with any big-time talent? Did they replace him with anyone?
Well, they tried. I think Polk was supposed to be good.
I mean, Osborne's the veteran. These two guys were veterans. Yeah, but, they brought in, that's it. They got rid of Rager. They drafted Polk. They drafted Baker. Two non-factors so far. And their only real veteran was KJ Osborne that they brought in. So, I don't know. I mean, I look at that and I think that's basically all lateral moves. And in the case of Jalen Polk, maybe even a step backwards considering what he looks to be right now. So, yeah, it's the same. It's basically the same offense.
Yeah, there were no significant. Now, the scheme and the coordinator, yeah, those are different. And I think you acknowledged that. I don't think you poo-pooed that.
No, I'm talking about the talent on the field.
The complementary talent, too. You also acknowledge that the quarterbacks are different.
Of course.
It's not Zappe and Mack. It's
and that he's out there leading the same offense as last year, basically, or an offense of similar caliber, right? I mean, it's not like they improved it in any way. How could you say that? Like, you know, it's just it's weird to me to try and defend the construction of this offense and the way it all went down, which, as I've said over and over again, there's no run game, there's no receivers, there's no line, and they have the least experienced coaching staff in the entire league. Other than that, it's great. Other than that, it's a great situation for Drake May, and he should be thriving in it any day now. All right? So, I mean, there you go.
It was also a weird tone because the subject line said, Arcand's totally wrong.
Yeah.
And then he was like, hey, Arcand, how
hey,
are
buddy.
You?
Hey, what's up?
I thought that was going to take a brutal turn.
Yeah, it was very strange.
I thought he was about to
hovering over the dump button.
I was hoping he was going to, like, treat you like The Rock. Like, hey, Arcand, what do you think? Hey, it doesn't matter. Like, have some dramatic change. I'd like to apologize. Absolutely. One of those.
I think he was wrong on every point he made on that call.
Well, honestly, we did have people say it was like the worst call ever, the wrongest call ever.
It was a very wrong call. It was a very wrong call. The Patriots injury report for today is out, and here's what it looks like. Three DMPs. Kyle Duggar with the ankle, Christian Ellis with two S's with the abdomen, and Jamichael Hasty, non-injury related, a personal thing, he's out today. Limited are Daniel Aquale, Vidarian Lowe, Marte Mapu, Layden Robinson, Jacqueline Roy, Sione Takitaki, and Keon White. Full participants, Alex Austin and Michael Jordan. There's your injury report. Nothing on there that I consider earth-shattering. Kyle Duggar being out again. He's missed two games now.
Be nice
right?
to get him back out there.
Be nice to get him at least on the field if he can go out and play. That leads me to believe that you're probably not going to be seeing him out there if he's not even practicing on Wednesday. But I guess
it's still early.
It's early enough in the week, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Not looking promising. Vidarian Lowe, if he's out on the offensive line. Robinson, Robinson got benched last week anyway, so I don't have strong feelings about that. If Vidarian Lowe can't go or isn't 100%, it's just, you know, he's the he's not good, but he's the best that you have. He's the best that you have at tackle on either side of the line. So I'd like to see him play, and I just think that'd be better for Drake May. But
he's still giving up strip sacks. So, I mean, I'm not going to lose much sleep over it. I'm not going to You just said the best they have. Like, do they even know who the best they have is or where the best they – we've heard all year. Remember the whole thing in the summer was like the right five or five.
Right.
We got to settle the right – and the right five might not be the best five.
Right.
Is that – all of that was bunk. It's a mess.
Of course it was all bunk. And I do think Vidarian Lowe is the best that they have at left tackle. I think he's their best tackle, yes.
Sure, but that's, I mean...
that's damning with faint praise, but...
it's like saying you're the best host one on this show.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. But there's other tackles. It's not like there's another host one here. I mean, there's other tackles on
you
the
sure
team, and
that?
He's the best one.
Looking around?
I haven't seen any. If
Brady in the corner, the bobblehead Brady.
Bobblehead Brady. We got the Dale head up there. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. The Red Auerbach statue.
The Paul mice
Revere.
That run around in the ceiling.
And on the floor, too. 617-779-7937. There was an article in The Athletic, Chad Graff, talking about the potential offensive line prospects coming out of the draft this year. And I got bad news, Patriots fans. It's kind of grim. We'll get to that with your phone calls next. That was Drake May getting strip-sacked against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart's WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here this evening, I should say, as you begin your commutes back home or wherever it is you're going. You're going to work, could be. Don't forget, you can also stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, why would we play that? We played that because we all agree that the Patriots need to upgrade their offensive line in the offseason. I would have liked them to do maybe something, a little something here at the trade deadline, but that didn't happen. Their waiver wire picks have not been, you know, exactly setting the world on fire. DeMontre Jacobs, the kid that they brought in from the Bears, the center's been okay, but he's not good. And there was another tackle who they brought in, I think came and went. We all know how the offseason went. We were just talking about the rookies, and we were talking about Chukwuma Okorafor and all these other guys who kind of flamed out here. And we all looked at this draft coming up, or potentially, I'd say, the free agent market, but I feel like the draft has been much more focused on, because it seems like there's a couple of pretty good blue-chip tackles there in the draft who are expected to go in the top 10. However, Chad Graff over at The Athletic doesn't seem to think so. Andy, you pointed this out, and you're also the one with The Athletic subscription. So what'd Chad Graff have to say?
So it's Chad Graff, and it's also, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, their draft expert. Mm-hmm. He sort of circles him in to get the true hardcore pre-draft work. Because last year, if you remember, we were already talking about Will Campbell.
Right.
There was the LSU left tackle, Will Campbell, been there for a while. He's a big white hoss. He doesn't give up sacks. He squats 1 billion pounds. You can check the internet, blah, 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 blah. And some people even had that in the debate of, well, the quarterbacks are better this year than they're going to be next year. Go get a tackle next year. That whole plan, long term, whatever. Well, not so fast, my friend, because the Patriots will be looking at left tackles that, according to The Athletic, might be the worst offensive line or one of the worst positions in the draft.
Swell.
And that is not something I had coming, because literally it feels like about a month ago, the Banks kid out of Texas and Will Campbell were both top 10, 12, whatever picks. Now, Will Campbell's moving to guard. The Banks kid might be a guard or a center. Will Campbell might be a center. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best tackle on Texas isn't Banks. It's the right tackle, but he's a developmental prospect.
Right.
You're going to have to work with him over time. And there's almost like no other names to throw out there if you're looking at the draft. So why can't I find the guy's name? Oh, Dane Brugler, who is a very good draft expert.
Okay.
Dane Brugler goes back a long way.
Brugler? I barely know her. What?
Do we have, like, a bad rim
Come
shot?
Come on, that wasn't bad. That was all right.
It was terrible.
It was not terrible.
And I like to trade in
I think
terrible.
Anytime a barely knower, is the door's open for that, I'm going to take
Damn.
It, just so you know.
But Dane Brugler, yes. Will Campbell, he has short arms, and that's we've been down that road with Matt Light. It worked out. We went down that
worked
road with
fine,
Isaiah Wynn. It did not work
did
out.
Did not work out.
Now, whether it was just the arms, I have no idea. I think Isaiah Wynn had attitude problems, work ethic problems. He started feuding with, like, Phil Perry and Mike Reese.
Conditioning issues, too, with him, I think.
I think
right?
his arm length may have been the least of his problems. Mm-hmm. We've learned, Dante Scarnecchia told us, you can play tackle in the NFL with short arms. But if he's just not a left tackle, if he's a guard, well, I don't want to take a guard in the top six picks in the draft or wherever you end up with hopefully a trade down at all.
Could Dante whip this group into shape, do you think? Or is it beyond that, even him?
Into good shape? No.
Into,
would they be better? Absolutely.
Like league average. Could he make them league average?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Mm. I think there are limits to his greatness. I do. But they'd be significantly better. I mean, 30% better right out the gates. He is a legendary offensive line coach for a reason. He got more out of less. Cameron Williams is the right tackle that is now considered the better tackle because Kelvin Banks,
okay.
quote.
And LSU's right tackle is supposed to go high,
oh, yeah,
too, right?
So, but, and then the wild card is Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. He has a knee injury that ended his season. They don't know if he's going to come out or he's going to go back. Oh, great. So the best guy might be an injured, a bad knee tackle coming out. So I feel like the Andy Hart plan is falling apart. You think the Bengals are keeping T. Higgins. All the tackles at the top of the draft stink. What are we doing with our money and our draft picks now?
I think you just have to reverse those two things, right? Start looking at the wide receiver group and see who you like there. There's that kid out of Arizona who everybody likes. There's Travis Hunter.
Yep.
There's a couple guys in Colorado who I kind of like, but those are, you know, for the most part.
Right. We're not just drafting Buffaloes.
I mean, I'd be okay with that if we're doing wide receivers. They got good wide receivers.
Hasn't always worked out. Remember Tyrone Wheatley?
No. He was a defensive back, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Terrence Wheatley.
Terrence Wheatley. He had like a titanium forearm or something.
Yeah.
He stunk.
He did stink. Who's the last offensive player they drafted? Like skill
Christian
position?
Fourier.
Dan Graham, maybe?
Yeah, he
Is
was a
it?
Bust.
Dan Graham wasn't a bust.
He was a Mackey Award winner who became a blocking tight end.
Right, but he was a good blocking tight end.
he would fit in with this receiver group. He was like the Seals.
He was.
It was actually more stone hands with him.
Yeah, he did have stone
hands. It sounded like it was hitting a brick wall when it hit his hands.
Hmm.
bad hands.
Hung around for a while, though.
Yeah, because he could block. He could kill people.
Watson. Watson was Georgia, right?
He was Colorado guy.
I don't know. There's not a lot of Colorado guys that they've had. The tackle, though. They had a tackle from Colorado. What's
Nate Solder.
Nate Solder, yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
You just like you keep doing, what's it say? Usually you're
pretty good at
these
things. Well, I don't always able to pull names to my.
It's your school.
I know. I know who it is.
Because we're going to have a problem here if I'm the one who remembers names, because I never remember names.
Well, I just got you with Terrence Wheatley, so don't worry about it.
I've written stories where I couldn't think of Julian Edelman, and I'm like, the white guy, the little white guy, catches a lot of balls.
You couldn't remember Julian Edelman?
That's my CTE. Like, I legit think when that hit me one day, when I couldn't think of Julian Edelman, a name I had typed
1,000 million
times, I was like, I don't think my brain's working properly.
Well, I also like to put the massage gun up to my head. So, you know, we all have
that's dumb.
We all got the CTE.
That's
going
not a
euphemism.
That's what he does. It's
that
an actual massage gun.
It feels good, though. I mean, it does.
Because I thought you were saying something else.
No, I put it up to
the head. I like to put the old massage gun right to my head.
Right to my head. That's true. That's true. I go on the neck, and then I just, a little microdosing, a little CTE. I think you're not supposed to do that. I think I read that somewhere.
I'm pretty sure in the book it says don't put it
on
your
head. But then why does it feel so good?
I don't think you're supposed to. Wait, what?
Why does it feel so good to do that?
Well, there's a lot of things that feel good that aren't right.
That's maybe, but I mean, it's a massage gun. It's supposed it's for wellness. You know, it's the whole thing. At any rate, 617-779-7937. Steve is in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
The Wiggy gets 10 catches in the Snow Bowl, has the last catch of the Super Bowl before Adam Vinatieri kicks the field goal, and Bill decides he's going to go get Daniel Graham and spend two draft picks on him, by the way.
He brought in Fourier after Wiggy. It was Fourier first and then Daniel Graham,
okay.
I think, right?
Yeah. No. Wiggy, they told Wiggy there's no room for him because they had Christian Fourier, Cam Cleland, two late-round picks, and
Jabari and Holloway was one of them. Jabari Holloway, I remember
Jabari Holloway and Arthur Love.
Oh, yeah,
Love. That was their room. That's when I knew Bill Belichick was completely out of his mind.
What did he do two years later?
He spends a 32nd pick on another tight end who can't play. So Wiggy's over there in the Vikings getting more catches a year than three picks.
Steve, we don't need to go down the early 2000s draft road, but are we just going to ignore Seymour, Warren, Will Fork? He hit a lot of picks, too.
I don't just say that without making a cogent point. Hall of Famers don't do that. Can I make my point?
Hall of Famers do that.
You ever hear? I'm a Hall of Famer, okay? You don't need to be in the top 10. Look at this guy you talked about at center. Their center. They still have this kid, Ben Brown, or whatever his name is.
He's still there, yeah.
You couldn't have been more almost out of the league than this guy. He's an undrafted free agent. He's on four different teams.
Right.
You couldn't have been more loosely aligned to the NFL than this guy. He's now got three or four starts on this belt. He is. So guess what? That cuts several ways. It ain't that hard to find these guys. You can't get somebody legitimate in the fourth round. Andy, Brandon Gore, and Tom Ashworth, and the kid that started the 0-1 Super Bowl. All low round draft picks with your right tackles in your Super Bowl your Super Bowl year. You don't need these guys, and you brought up Matt Light. You don't need the top 10. That's called insanity. Complete insane.
You're wrong, Steve. You're wrong about this. And I gave you a lot of time, but you're wrong. If you go down the roster of every team in the league right now and look at their left tackle, almost every single one of them is a top 10 pick. Starting in the league right now, almost every single one. Starting at left tackle or whatever the blind side is,
first
got a lefty. They're a first round pick. Yeah. A lot of them are top 10, top 15. And that's just a fact. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And that's where you're finding these guys right now. And I don't think there's a lot of great offensive line play in the league. Ben Brown, you should be shooting higher than Ben Brown. Ben Brown's only here because David Andrews got hurt, and that other Andrews kid they drafted also got hurt, right? Jake Andrews?
Yep.
He's out. Nick Leverett was a bust who they signed, who I guess, you know, he had more going for him than maybe Ben Brown did coming into the season. They actually spent money to bring him in here, and he couldn't do it. So they moved on, and they found a guy who's not a complete mess, right? That's what Ben Brown is. He's not a complete mess. I don't think anyone thinks he's that good. That's not to say you want to go out there and find five Ben Browns. No, of course not. You need some elite talent on that line. It's just you absolutely need that in the league today.
And I don't even think back then. Now, forget, I mean, even 01, They had Damian Woody, a first-round pick,
right,
who was playing center and guard because he couldn't shotgun snap. Like, they had got, they had a second-round pick, Matt Light. They invested some into the offensive line. Did they have veteran guys? And the, he's right, Grant Williams and Tom Ashworth. But those guys were usually sprinkled in with legit talents, mm-hmm. too. And the biggest part is what we brought up earlier. You had Dante Scarnecchia,
yep.
who was able to do more with less, who was able to figure out a way to make that all work. I also think they had a better program. Guys would be on the practice squad and develop and or be the ninth offensive lineman for a year and then develop. Right now, it's like it's a fire drill. It's scramble. Go find Ben Brown. Go find DeMontre Jacobs. Go find – they signed somebody today. They brought in some freaking guard. I don't
yeah,
know
right.
who's, what his name is, what he's going to be, what he's going to do. They are scrambling. It's a fire drill. There's no developmental program in
Tyrese
play.
Robinson, yeah. Guard out of Minnesota.
So now we got two Robinsons at guard?
Got a couple Robinsons, yeah.
Got L. Robinson and T. Robinson.
Mm-hmm. So, L. Yeah. Robinson's
got that going for us.
Not great, yeah. So there you go. It's just more bodies – and really the type of dumpster diving that a dumpster team has to do. 617-779-7937. Jason Tatum looking to have a big night tonight against Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors, an early season matchup here that I think is going to have TD Garden rocking. The NBA, by the way, not in a great spot. We'll get to all of that next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.